Okay, this is Rabbi Moshe Weissman?
Yes.
Moshe Weissman, who was a former Talmud of Rabban and whose father was a Talmud of Rabban, right?
That's right. Correct.
Okay. When did you first come?
I want to talk about my father
first. Yeah, tell me about your father first. Where is he from?
My father is American born. He learned in Torah Vadas, and he went on to Europe to learn from 1936 till the war. And when the war broke out.
Where did he learn in Europe?
Mir in Poland.
Yeah.
When the war broke out, he returned with the Americans back to America.
Yeah.
And then he got married in 1942.
Yeah.
And with someone from Winnersburg.
Who that? Who did
the name? Oh, you want to?
I doesn't care. I'm just curious.
His name is Cohn. My mother was Esther Cohn.
I don't remember.
My grandfather was from the Polish Stiebel. Together with Mr. Shane and Mr. Floor, the old ones. After my father got married, he went to Lakewood. I just started then.
He went together with Rabbi Yaffe.
Rabbi Yaffe was the founder of Lakewood. They were in White Plains. They started the whole Lakewood Kollel.
Right.
My father did not start it. He came there after Rabban was there already.
Uh-huh.
It was not from the founders.
Uh-huh.
He was from the first married fellows in the Kollel. There together with his name is. Rabbi Cohn, he was nifta a few years ago, a close friend of my father also. And he was the first with that group. So my father was there, helped Rabban learn there, and helped Rabban in the office a little bit.
Mm-hmm. In White Plains?
No,
in Lakewood.
Lakewood. But he helped Rabban. But the stories what I would just say is that my father started the first from a new newspaper in America.
What was it called?
And my father made up the name. At that time, it was the Jewish Press, but it's not the Jewish Press of today.
Uh-huh.
At the time my father founded it, there was very few subscribers of an A Torah.
Uh-huh.
You have no idea how limited the Yiddishkeit was in those.
I do have an idea.
I mean, you do have an idea.
I'm from that
you
area.
You want to give one idea is that if you're looking for a pure B'nai literature, B'nai Torah minyan, the whole New York City.
Yeah.
There was Aluch Yidin, of course, all over, or Shtiblach, and besides a few yeshivas, even up to 1960, there was only one yeshiva shemin in the whole New Brooklyn that was in Brighton Beach. There was the Kamatno yeshiva shemin besides the yeshivas.
Who was that? That was Rabbi
Davis.
Davis, right.
But he was the founders of Lakewood, Rabbi Yaffe, together.
Rabbi Davis was part of the founders?
The main founder.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda Davis, he was the. But that you could check out exactly who the whole group was.
I know because
Rabbi Katz, Rabbi Asher Katz is from.
He was also in that group.
He was the one that started the thing.
Uh-huh.
Then came a drop later. White Plains school. I can't tell you details. Rabbi Yaffe can help you more on that. Give you a list of who started it.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, when my father left Lakewood already, he started this newspaper on the side. He wanted to have at that time the Gedolim. This was the tkufa from 1960.
What did he use? A stencil machine.
What do you mean?
In those days, you used to use a stencil, remember?
Yeah. There's linotype at the printing place.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember that.
No, I don't remember that.
There's no computers. They had a set type.
I remember
linotype.
Sure, linotype was a very sophisticated.
With iron. Anyways, the point was that my father's idea was like this. Since there was no Frumma newspaper, and the world was full of the Zionist ideas, and the Shfach HaShkafs in Yiddishkeit, and Bachal Yiddishkeit was Shfach. You had the forwards with the Moinjo that printed on Shabbos.
Right.
Which at that time the Gedolim had a big problem of even advertising in the morning journal. There was a big conflict among the Gedolim because they printed on Shabbos.
Uh-huh. I thought they didn't.
I think they did. You have to check on that. You have to check. I know that. You have to check. That was until about years ago. But I think what they did was, you'll check on the.
Look, my father used to bring in the house every day.
Yeah, that's right. There's a morning on the forwards. You have to check on that. But I think.
The Morgan Journal, that's what they used.
Yeah. What they did was.
And the Tug got into connection.
Yeah, but what they did was the Gedolim. At that time, I remember, you'll check on that, they didn't advertise on the Sunday edition for all the yeshivas and all the stockers because they knew it was printed on Shabbos. But they advertised the rest of the week, but they had no contact to the outside world except through the paper.
Uh-huh.
And even that was already wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. You couldn't get every day. But my father's goal was to make a Frumma newspaper that if there's any Das Torah of Gedolim, He was to put on the headlines. For example, the digging of Kfarim in Eretz Israel, of the Tanoim, which the Briscoe spearheaded to try to stop it. and Rav Shachna Zon, who is a Zion.
Oh, I know him too.
Rav Shachna is now in Eretz Yisrael. Is okay?
He's still living?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
He's living and kicking. So Rabbi,
he should come here all the time.
Rav Shachna has a kol in Eretz Yisrael now.
Uh-huh.
So Rabbi Zon was close to my father.
Yeah.
In Europe yet. He had the contact to the Brisker Rav, and used to bring messages to my father to be mepharsim the headlines.
Yeah.
The digging of the Kevin Ferrier here, uh-huh. there, whatever it was, and my father wrote editorials and brought the message to the public, or the limited public, like you would say.
Yeah.
Then you had the Indian where Baron Cutler made the ease of being in the synagogue council,
right.
the famous thing. There was no publicity whatsoever. And my father put it on the headlines.
Uh-huh. That wasn't the Jewish press.
My father made up the name Jewish press.
Well, I'm saying that even the Heintike Jewish press had that article in it.
No, the Heintike Jewish press, unfortunately, my father left the Jewish press to turn Zionistic.
Uh-huh.
So it's not the same paper. That's why I wouldn't even, if you give you my father's history, I wouldn't even mention the name Jewish press. That brings back bad feelings to people.
Uh-huh.
Just say he started the first Haredi paper in America
uh-huh.
to bring the Das Gedolim of the... Of
yeah.
the so Rav Baron, if he had to get a message through or something, he would call my father.
Right.
That was after he left Lakewood.
Uh-huh.
That was in the 50s.
And
he moved to Brighton
uh-huh.
Beach to be a Rav. And the way he became Rav and Bright.
Which shul was he?
Yisrael Bright. The way he became Rav is very interesting. I was told there's Rabbi Aaron Zuckerman who lives as a
yeah.
Rav.
Yeah.
Rav Aaron's
I have his interview.
Oh, Rav Aaron Zuckerman was from his father was from Brighton. The first the old time Balabatim, going back to the 30s and 40s. So he ran out to Rav Aaron Kotel to Lakewood to get verified to Rabbi Zuckerman. As I wasn't born yet,
yeah.
And he said we have Chasher Rabbanim in our area here, but we're losing the younger dar.
Right.
I need a Rav and Elachuan that can speak English
uh-huh.
to reach the young dar that should remain right. Shomer Shabbos.
Right.
So they picked on my father.
You know Halbrun?
Of course I know them.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
Of course, Yosef.
Yeah, Yosef. Yeah.
Yosef, his younger brother, I remember his first name.
Yeah, Shmuel.
Skinny, nice tall fellow.
Yeah, he's my friend.
Yeah. So the kids are.
Yeah.
So Rav Baron suggested my father
yeah.
to when he came to Brighton. It wasn't easy for my father being in such a sviva.
Uh-huh.
I'm Balabatan, I'm a Ratzim, didn't even go to yeshiva.
Yeah.
Very far from. It was serious nefesh. But the kids, he accomplished to save the young generation through Meir Shomer Shabbos.
There was a guy there, he was a professor, became a professor of mathematics.
Aaron Price.
Right.
He wasn't from my father's shul, but after he was close to Rav Davis.
Uh-huh, right.
Davis, okay, he came later.
Yeah.
Family. I don't know where they moved from. He lives near Flappishtown.
Yeah.
But my father basically saved the younger generation, the Shemesh Shemesh Shabbos.
Yeah.
In addition, of course, they had the Yeshiva Brighton was the first.
And he was in contact with Baron on these things.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever problems came up. I don't know how many problems came up with Yeshiva Baron, but before he started the newspaper, which Baron was happy about, was to bring the Das Torah.
Yeah.
I don't know how many I don't know if the yeshiva advertised that much. The yeshivas, maybe they did, they didn't. But the my father asked Rav Baron about writing halacha in the newspaper.
Uh-huh.
Rav Baron said under no circumstances, no halacha in any newspaper.
So they throw in the garbage.
No, that's one thing, but that's understood. The other thing you said was people. It's not a place of discussing halacha with the Pshutei Am. It'll be misconstrued.
Uh-huh. But nowadays you have the intense full halachas.
What should I do? I thought Rav Baron said.
I know.
I
have a problem because I don't allow those papers in my house.
Yeah, I do because of Seamus. I have a
problem. Right. They should wrap it up in cellophane or something and throw it in the garbage.
I think it needs Geniza.
I know.
A serious problem. But Rav Baron at the time told my father not to get involved in any halacha.
Uh-huh.
Now, what Rav Baron would say today when there's somebody been a Torah, I don't know. But he said no halacha in the newspaper.
I would say, but for the vibe, maybe you need it.
You could say what you want. Rav Baron said no halacha in the newspaper. My father didn't write any
halacha. Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, today, this Jewish press passes on the most serious shilas. He writes about Mamzerim.
Yeah.
It's a big chum. Rav Baron saw in advance this. But I think if you interview, don't mention my father started the Jewish press. Start the first Haredi paper, please.
Good.
But then it'll be misconstrued.
Good.
Anyway, that was one thing. And then, what I bring there from Baron, from the Talmidim already, after I call myself the three mices, was that we know that Rav Baron spent a half a week in New York,
right?
Half in Lake, half in New York, and the whole of Klai Yisrael stood on his shoulders, and he had to raise money. size for the yeshiva, which we know it's not like today, read ready for small monies and the bizyonis he had.
Uh-huh.
But there was very few from people, very few B'nai Torah, forget about that had money. It's not today's Tkufa. And he used to bang on doors and give away his Torah. But I have a cousin through marriage. His name is Eli Abramchik.
Uh-huh.
He learned in RJJ.
Yeah.
Kravitz.
Yeah, right, right.
And he used to, Rabbi Aaron, every Rosh Chodesh would give his shir there.
Where? In RJJ?
He would come every Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, he told me. And he would pick up Rabbi Aaron from Borough Park, wherever he was.
Yeah.
And he gave the shir, and then he went back home, wherever he had to go, Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
wherever he went.
Mm-hmm.
So this cousin through marriage, Eli Abramchik.
Where is he now?
He lives in Flatbush.
Uh-huh.
He wouldn't have more mice than this.
No?
This is the only thing you know. But he told me, he wasn't that many times.
By the way, I'm not only looking for mice, I'm looking also for personal opinions.
Opinions about your Baron?
What impression he made on you?
Well, that's not for tonight. That'll give you.
That's very important.
I'll prepare a shkafa.
Okay. I'll set aside for you.
Yeah, that's good. That we do a different. I understand what you're saying. That will. How he made the door. But that's something else. But
that's more important than the mice.
Oh, well, I don't know. It's up
for
to
me.
You.
I mean, it's from my way of looking at it.
That's
the difference between me and Dershowitz.
All right. I just want to finish this mice. If I was that. Anyway, so yes, Rashiva Byron.
Yeah.
You have so much trouble raising money for Lakewood,
yeah.
So much Mesirah staff, so much Bittul Tyro, if you want to call it time-consuming.
Right.
Why are you sticking your neck out for Chinuch HaTzvoi?
Right.
He raised for that, just maybe even harder than Lakewood.
Right.
He asked a very important question. So Rabbi Aaron answered, and when he answered, the car shook up. He said, the yeshiva gate, Abador Shmad, what he did for this Chinuch HaTzvoi, he held that to save the younger Dor from becoming Goyim and Apikursim and Mechalei Shabbos and mm-hmm. the Velas and intermarrying with Goyim. He wasn't doing Al Tzabotis Torah. That came by the way. He was doing to save a Dor from Shmad.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a godless of a Goyim. People don't understand this. They say, this. What in Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael? Kids going, they don't understand. He without it, there would be 100,000 people be going Gemurim.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a Gevaldig, a godless of a Godla Dor. That he was doing to save people for Shmad.
Mm-hmm.
And the Olam doesn't. And I mean, I'm not here to sell Chinuch HaTzvoi, but talking in general, he's
very. But I'm not in a position to know.
Had a shkafa wise, had to translate, you know, what he did to me. I mean, I was only there one, you know, I was only there.
But
then he got sick, you know.
Yeah. But you saw something.
What I see, you saw the Gadol Hadar. What's the question? That's that everyone. So the problem is those that are living that didn't see him are missing. You know what I mean?
I understand, but
that are the ones that are missing.
You did. By the way, you left off. You were talking about Chinuch HaTzmoy.
No, I wasn't here to push Chinuch HaTzmoy. I was bringing
that's important.
I wasn't out to Chinuch HaTzmoy. I was bringing the point that he was the Gadol Hadar and he understood the needs of the generation and more than a regular person would understand. People are limited. He had a outlook for the whole generation. That's what I mean. He was like the Chavetz Chaim.
Yeah.
He understood what the generation needed, and he did whatever he can, even though he had no money.
If you saw the Chavetz Chaim for 1 minute, you'd have a lot to say.
1 minute, no. People didn't have for 1 minute to say. No. They didn't know the Chavetz Chaim. He was hidden. But Mr. Byron gave speeches in public, so he knew what he wanted. But of course, that he made a revolution with Tyrant America, I mean, that you don't need me.
I need everybody because each person, the fact they say the same thing in their own words,
I understand,
forces the whole picture.
So what else can I tell you? I mean,
you're there for one L, right?
That's not only L. I was Zeicha, that L, and I was not Zeicha to come before. I mean, I was in Teravadas before. But
who were you by?
The last Rabbi I had in Teravadas, I left the end of high school, Rabbi Shuzgal.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have the mirror, the high rabbis.
Uh-huh.
I had a rabbi, Rabbi Shapiro, I don't know if you remember him.
Sure.
He was the top-notch Magachi in the United States.
Uh-huh.
The biggest Bal Masbir, and had he been alive today, every Masifta rabbi should have gone to him to hear the Shia, to know how to teach.
Uh-huh.
And then the kids would come out, would come
so
out
you,
cuckoo.
You came at the beginning of the last L.
Mama's just L, so when did I...
You heard Shia?
I told you, I heard the shiurim, yeah.
Oh, so that's...
Yeah, but I didn't understand that, it just to make points.
You're in good company.
Yeah, I understand. That was, I understood, but I heard the shiurim, and I can just tell you one story. But I don't think it's going to be helpful for your sefer. Just what very interesting. Rav Aaron Kotler had... he had the famous set of shirim called the Sugya of Shvachim Bamitzia Daf Yud Beis, I think it is.
Yeah.
In other words, he gave a shir Shabbos, and during the week, I think on Wednesday, I don't remember which day, you could check when he gave it. He went to New York half a week, and he came back, he gave a shir on Shabbos, and during the week.
Right.
And this shir...
Thursday, probably.
Could be it was Thursday, I'm not sure. You have to check which day. I don't remember it.
These feels like that are not that...
The sugi of Shvach, Shin Vez Chav, Shvach.
Yeah.
Now, he had there, it was a continuation, a series of, I think, four shiurim, or five shiurim.
Yeah.
Which went, took up half of Elul. It's in Bab Metzia, Gemara. Mm-hmm. Pesach the Bab Metzia. Mm-hmm. Now, he had a mathematical cheshbon, a Danish mathematical cheshbon to start off the. He had a mathematical cheshbon, very Danish.
Yeah.
But every shiur of his was not just pilpul, it took into Shulchan Aruch also.
Uh-huh.
Different than other Rosh Hashivas, which was just dry pilpul.
It was a comprehensive shiur.
Yeah, his took it, it was a binyan, it took in Shulchan Aruch, the Bihagro, Ataz, Shach. It took in halacha, it had a framework interwoven with halacha.
So the whole thing was interwoven, it was just
It wasn't just svaras back and forth, pilpul bealma.
Mm-hmm.
It was with the Rishayin, the riff he always mentioned, which no one learns riff today at all.
It was a binyan.
Yeah, that's a murder, but what was the point? These shvach shirim, this whole set.
What does the word shvach mean?
That's the sugi of the, that's the name of the sugi, shvach.
I know, but what's the word?
The prophet of the field, shvach.
I mean increase in value.
Yeah, there's a sugi there in Bab Metzia, I think it's Yud Beis. So it was a lecture, I think, four or five, I can't remember. Yeah. Anyways, he had already written this shirim, the main thing already in a, maybe he had an aunt when he was 20 years old, in the famous Yachin Knesset Yisrael.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that was the Yachin of Salabotka or the Yachin from Vilna. You could check with my friend Dershowitz. He'll tell you where it is.
It was written there.
It was written. No, this was already 50 years later. He was repeating the same shurim.
Mm-hmm.
It was, he already was Mechadish and he was young. My son, Yitzhak Dershowitz, could figure out for you if he was a Rosh Hashiva and Kletzk then or anything, but which Yachin it appeared. So listen what happened. I only followed the main points, not the whole cheshbon.
Yeah.
Even today, when I'm older, I still want to follow the whole thing.
They have it written now. Why they?
Yeah, I understand. All right, but it could be. It's printed up already.
What's his name?
Rabbi Zeraven did it.
Right.
It must have been printed. But what happened there is, he asked the kasha on the Vilna Gaon.
Yeah.
The Vilna Gaon means the Bia HaGroa.
Right.
Since he tied in halacha, he asked the kasha.
Uh huh.
And then he went over to the. Who was it? The Bach.
Yeah.
I think it was the Bach. And he made a whole pilpa, a whole binyan for the, let's say, an hour's time based on the Bach.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't just like someone's giving a blatch here. You have a kasha, one thing, you go right to the next point.
Yeah.
When he put aside the goin and left it unanswered, he asked the kasha, tzorachin.
Yeah.
And then he went over to the Bach, it was a whole binyan. It wasn't
right.
Like, you know, and you're learning, you have 10 hours on the blockchain, and when you go weiter, you know, it made a significant
dent. It was complete structure.
That's right. So I was a young kid then. I was 18. Right after this is Shabbos this year. Mm-hmm. After this year, one or two boys were asking him things, but not, there wasn't a crowd of 100 people. I went over after this year.
Who were the other boys that were asking?
I don't know the names. But I went over after this year, and I went over. He knew me by name.
Yeah.
I went over after this year,
yeah.
And I asked, what is with the Goyen? What happened to the Vilna Goyen?
Yeah.
He didn't answer it.
Uh-huh.
Wow, did his eyes start flashing back and forth. He used to hit people, but his eyes used to flash, but his mind went very, his blue eyes, his eyes, you know, his mind went quick.
Sparkling.
He was flashing back and forth, looking at me.
Yeah.
And he said, John, what do you want to say?
Yeah.
So I said a short svara.
Yeah.
I mean, that much seems I understood of this year.
Yeah.
Said a short thing. First he was thinking, there's Vizil Dezogin.
Yeah.
Like he was very, you never saw him, but you ever saw him out? He used to jump. He jumped like he was.
I saw him, but only at a distance.
Anyways, he gave a jump. Vizil Dezogin, what do you want to say?
Mm-hmm.
So I said a svara. He said, Kashum svara klal kalmish. It's no svara at all.
Uh-huh.
That's the way he spoke, because they tell me, you could ask, the Yisrael knows the history better. I don't know if you have to mention that.
Yeah.
When he came Rosh Hashiva in class, the people are older than him yet.
Right.
And they used to attack him in the shiur very strong.
Uh-huh.
So he had a fight. Not his tire was big, but he got a little on the offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that in public. But anyways, whatever he says, no svara.
Yeah.
Finish, I walk away. This is Shabbos.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, when he came back from New York, unless it was Tuesday night, Wednesday, the old base Medrash of Lake was on Forest Avenue.
At 7th, I think.
At 7 years. It was a base medrash, like a one family house.
Yeah, right.
And it was, when you came in from the outside, you went in the hall, and right to the right was the base medrash already. And the hall, this was during Second Seder, and the hall was a lot of people, they were smoking. They didn't smoke.
Right.
A lot of, that was time everyone smoked.
Yeah, it's normal.
It was around, it was around 6 o'clock, I would say.
Yeah.
And I happened to be standing in the hall also, a young boy.
Yeah.
The second he came in the door, he noticed me.
Yeah.
And he knew my name, Weissman. He gave me a jump. Weissman.
Yeah.
So I figured he's kicking me out of the yeshiva now. Because what am I doing in the hall? Now, so there's 30 other people in the hall.
Yeah.
The other people in the hall, I mean, they came out to take a break. But I figured, I'm a new person, I'm getting spoiled already.
Uh-huh.
But if he sends me out of my car, I'll go back to Aradas. What could I do?
Yeah.
He comes in the office, and he tells me like this. This is from Shabbos to Wednesday, and he went through the whole Klal Yisrael during the week with all his problems, raising money and all the problems.
Right.
And everything was on his head, the Klal. He said, Ich hab Ma'ayin given duchum voch. I was Ma'ayin during the week, and I found an Eitzah for the Goyin. I found an Eitzah to answer the Vilna the Goyin.
Yeah.
He said, this Machlaik is the Beis Yoyz, and he had a tour in his hand also, a little tour, a red tour. Tour is Chosh Mishpat.
Right.
But that, so he worked with the Rishonim Halachadik.
Right.
It wasn't just Pilpul. So he said, that's why he's unique in being from other Rosh Hashivas, that he tied in Halacha. Other shiurim, you don't hear halacha. That's a point that other people brought out. So he tells me, I give him duchum voch, and you'll find an eitzah for the goyin.
Yeah.
And machlekes, and this halacha, which he, whatever it was, I could reconstruct them all, between the Beis Yosef and the Bach.
Yeah.
The Gro gave the Beis Yosef, and the Bach clicked.
Yeah.
That's what he said. That was a murdek schus. So it bothered him from Shabbos till when at this point it bothered him.
He always kept track of everything.
Yeah, what are you talking about? I mean, there's a bigger point. Don't forget, he's a Einikel from the Vilna Gaon. You know that?
I didn't know that. No, nobody ever told me that.
Well, you better wake up, boy, before you write
your book.
Nobody
said a word.
His name, Rav Aaron Kotler's real name is Pines, Penis.
Right.
Penis. That is, the Vilna Gaon's daughter was married to a penis.
Nobody ever told me.
Well, good thing, but that's why it's good. I had a call just for this.
It's Gavada.
And there's even a Ksav Yichis. It's printed in the back of, I'll tell you where it's printed. They put out Chedusha of Baron Kotler before the big black farm. They put out once, Reb Shneur's times, a small, a regular size sefer, the Chedusha of Baron. And back it has the Yichis, how he's the Yichis to the Vilna Gaon.
It's probably one of the.
It's one page, it's not much, only a few days.
One in the Harais farm, probably.
Not before the Narai. Narai is a new Bishmish Shagat. This goes back 30 when Rav Shneur was alive. The first thing they ever printed was a shiurim. A small, the size of a siddur.
I can get it.
Yeah, and it has a
yichus. Rothberg probably knows where it is.
Yeah, you get it. It has the yichus in back. It takes up a page.
Yeah, we'll
till the Vilna Gaon. And so mainly you have to understand that Vilna Gaon by him was Kodesh Kedoshah for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One, there was the Vilna, he's a Litvisha, the grower was the grower. Number two, he's an Einikel.
Right.
A grandson, what's it called? Ben Achabas. And that's why it's very hard. No one ever told you this thing?
Nobody said it were about
that. Well, you better. Well, I'm glad you called me. Now you see how everything fills in?
Everything fills in. Look, I'm. This is Yad al Yad.
Yeah, that's right. So let me tell you. So it bothered him. The man had so much time. It bothered him why he left the Vilna Gaon unanswered. Now, what I have to look up is the persona that's not even Knesset Yisrael, that Yachin, which he printed 50 years before, if the Vilna Gaon is there also unanswered.
No, ask Rothberg.
Rothberg. If that Vilna Gaon is unanswered, that means for 50 years he didn't answer it. So it's very surprising. It was not like a baron to ask the Vilna Gaon, just leave it unanswered. The fact that he's giving, it wasn't just, if someone's giving a blotch here, you have horror. See, in passing, it's something you don't have to answer every horror, right? You're passing, you're spot checking on the blot.
Yeah.
But when he's making a whole binion of Torah, a whole binion, a castle, and of course the Vilna Gaon didn't have an answer, he built up a whole binion with the Bach, he left the Vilna Gaon unanswered, that was a plea in my eyes. But I knew, even though I was only there short, I knew that was the first thing, the Vilna Gaon. That came before everything.
People, there's an overriding theme, what everybody said, is that by him, the Shurim were the most important thing.
It was his life, but that wasn't just, it wasn't because they showed him for the tea, but that was Torah, that was his Torah. He gave it over, but that was his life.
Right.
But this is the now, interesting, I found they printed up a Chazainish now, stories of Chazainish, not from the regular ones. And it brings down there that someone came to Chazainish's house. Chazainish had a shmata on his head. He was learning with a chavrusa.
Yeah.
This is in Eretz Yisrael, and I don't think in Vilna, I think in Eretz Yisrael already. And it says there that he was studying the Baron Shear this same shiur on the sugya of shach, which was printed in the that
yachin, yeah,
whether it was Vilna or Salbat, you have to check it. And the Chazaynish, whose amelus b'ter was beyond comprehension, we know that the Chazaynish didn't leave. He wasn't. We don't like. We, you know. We learn. You know, take what's easy. What's interesting. The hard tises run weiter. But the Chazaynish gave his zogra Baron's Torah. You have to put your head with all your koiches. He very rarely learned achronim. For some reason, he didn't learn his contemporaries or the Chazaynish. But this piece, the same piece which I'm telling you about, which is so famous. Chazaynish was studying with a chavrusa, Andre Baron's Torah. I could give you a photostat of that page.
No, I could get it somewhere with the help.
No, they won't know which chavrusa. It's a new sefer here. Not Chazaynish. It's the history. It's someone put out 5 volumes about the Chazaynish. Maisish. What is it called? Maisish. The black. Yeah. Maisish is black. 5 volumes of Chazaynish. Something about very interesting things from the Talmidim. Maisish. It's in one of the volumes that goes on this same. It rang a bell to me, but I was asked him at the same shiur. And the Chazaynish should sit and harv with a chavrusan. He didn't have time for other people's Torah. No, that's a contemporary of his.
Well, it was something else.
What?
Rambam was different.
No, it's not the point, because I just didn't have time, whoever it was. He wouldn't spend time. He didn't have time. He had his own achrein.
Right.
So this is the, this I could tell you. That was it. That was the story.
That was the story, yeah.
Yeah, then what else do I have? The yach I wrote in the booklet. I thought about the stock money. It's often to raise money, that you know.
Well, you could say it over.
No, I told you what that you have. I told you one about the Chazan HaTzmoy.
Yeah, right.
The other story there is that my Shaga Yungreis, my neighbor, told me.
Yeah.
He learned about Baron, but he...
I spoke to him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, how'd you know about him?
Look, what I do is it's called networking. Every time I speak to somebody, I got you from somebody else.
Very good. Anyways, so he's the one that maybe told it to you. He told.
Maybe, I don't know if he told me this, he's very short.
Anyway, because he stutters a little hard.
Right.
He's very nice. My neighbor. See, he told me he's really a Vina. He doesn't make it that long. But very fine. Talmud Chacham. He told me that he used to go sometimes with Baron to raise money.
That
was before Baron had a driver. Baron only got a driver half a year before he was Nifta. Wait a second. And he went with him on the train. And he asked Reb Baron, why is Rosh Yeshiva going by train? He's going for the yeshiva, not going for personal.
Right.
Take a taxi.
Right.
That's mum and hegdish. I can't spend money.
Right.
This is a pella, because see, the God of Ador should take off time for going on the train.
Yeah.
And he even told over, this is here from the Yitzhak Dershowitz, he said, one train ride takes away 40 years of his learning Musa.
Yeah.
Yitzhak Dershowitz, the last, he'll tell you that statement.
Yeah.
So it's a pella, God of Ador had to go by train. But what I'm thinking now, while I'm telling you this, which you should get an interview is, Mustam, you did already, Rabbi Brevda, you interviewed already?
I've been trying to get him for the last 5 years. I can't get a hold of him.
He lives in Barbara.
I know, I call his number, he doesn't answer the phone.
You have to find out for someone that knows which shul. He's telling you want to speak to him.
Okay, I'll have to ask somebody.
But he learned in Lakewood.
I know.
He told me a maisa, which is not anything nice to print it. That he told me, that's, I don't know if he said over by his share, but I think it's a kitri, and I'll say it over here.
By the way, when I interviewed Mayor Hershkowitz, he gave me a nice long interview.
Yeah.
He said, before I print anything, I should go through the Alta Talmidim and they should look at it.
That's right, that you have to do.
So I have that, but I started doing that already, but they don't have time to look.
Yeah, Chaim Epstein, you need to show
me. Epstein is very hard to get to.
Yeah.
Very hard. I know, because I have people.
No, I'll tell you, and if you can't get it by phone, you have to come into New York.
I know,
when you have to come into him? When Ben is man, when he doesn't have the yeshiva.
I know him very well, because he's related to my father.
I understand. The Eitzer is...
But I can't get him.
The Eitzer, I'm telling you when you can get him. You have to get him when he stops at his yeshiva, those 2 weeks you could catch him. Or maybe comes to Lakewood. I think his wife is in Lakewood.
His wife is not well.
I know. Maybe comes to Lakewood.
He comes to Lakewood very often.
I don't know if you get by phone.
I've been trying to get
him. I wanted to do was to set over my son a tape here in New York.
Yeah.
I don't know if you gave him a file submit, which I think is not even... he said it, but he said that Yom Kippur was over in Lakewood. He stayed till the next morning. He didn't want to run away from the yeshiva.
He
waited till the morning.
Yeah, right.
And he comes to Dobbin. No one was there. Everyone packed out.
Right.
No time. No one lives in Lakewood. No married family.
Right.
So what does he do? He takes the bus 10 o'clock in the morning to go back. That time he had to go through Manhattan. There was no Verrazano.
Right.
He comes to the bus and he sees Rabbi Cutler out of breath coming out of a taxi, schlepping his wife's valise.
Yeah.
They were going to go to New York. I don't know if they're going for the Hosukkah, at least for those few days, to be in New York. I don't know, maybe the Hosukkah. So he was out of breath. Yeah. He helped Rabban bring the valises on, of course.
Yeah.
And he held this as a meritic opportunity to speak to the Rashi. Where could you get him out of the bus? He's not bothered. They had no
right, problem. Right, right.
And he said, the Rabban told him, I'm so schwach, I'm so iskimush, I can't even talk on learning with you. And afterwards, he took him to Port Authority, and he set him up with a taxi to go to Borough Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's chus. But it's, on the other hand, to an issue get at, there wasn't one car in the whole lake. Someone to drive him back to from Lakewood to Borough Park.
There was nobody there.
Not.
He didn't want to ask them.
Today, every schmo has four drivers. Every Rosh Hashiva that's 10 years old has, and he rebounded got the
Rosh Hashiva. I have a driver.
What?
I have a driver too.
You understand what's going on, or your wife?
No, somebody.
Very good, you're a rich guy.
No, it doesn't cost me a cent.
I wish I could send him to me also.
He might go to you if I told him.
Anyway, so this
you're not Jewish.
This mice cannot help. It's not for public. It doesn't show nothing. They have to admit, but this,
no, it's very important.
Why then you saw why people didn't give
you
him
see,
a ride?
You see, no, they're not that he didn't give him a ride. That he went, that the mysterious nefesh that he had.
No, he was leaving Lakewood to get to Brooklyn.
Even that's mysterious. That's part of it.
I don't know. I don't know.
You know, people think, like you say, Rosh Shiva, he has Mishorosim.
You didn't have, all right, whatever, that was the story. Yeah. But don't say that no one helped him. You can't write that.
Okay.
All right, no one gave him a ride. Then it's that's Lush and Iran. I'm telling you what happened here.
He probably didn't ask anybody.
Of course he didn't, but you're supposed to think of it. If I heard it, I'd say, well, you should better should have said it over.
Who are you going to...
Rabbi Brev just said it on a tape when he gave his shit, but I hold he shouldn't have said it. He was saying for his own reasons.
No, they said... Rabbi Rosenblum also spoke about these kind of things.
Yeah.
And Rabbi, what's his name? Amos Bunim told me mice like that he was... That Mavaza him and everything.
That's something else. Here is why the island didn't help, didn't give him a car ride.
Because the island wasn't there. Yeah.
I know, they should have stayed.
I know.
I'm not just telling you why I think it should be brought down.
Yeah, okay.
All right, listen, you'll be in touch with me, all right?
Okay, so you have any other things
no,
to say? Nothing else?
That's all I know, it's only the one elu.
That's it, but do you remember something about the atmosphere of this year, besides the content?
No. He was like fire. His face lit up like a fire.
Uh-huh.
Like a fire. It was like, you couldn't see anything like it. And he saw him right before I prepared the shiur in his room there, through the glass door. He was learning like he never learned the Gemara before.
Uh-huh.
Like a fireball.
Mm-hmm. So that's very good, because you see something like that gives you inspiration, too.
That made an everlasting impression.
Right, and that effect on you. So maybe you want to rest from learning. So you say, oh, Rabban didn't do that. Oh, I have to.
No, no, forget his brand and Torah.
I'm saying the brand is transferred.
Yeah.
And that brand is what you see today, all these buildings here.
Yeah, I tell you one more story to have it. He's not about children, he's many years, many from. He came from Queens, and he was not from family, then he became from.
Yeah.
He went to a baron once, and he asked, I want to find the shidduch, and I live out in Queens. Schwarz, what should I do?
Yeah.
So Baron told him, he didn't know who he was, he told him, my advice is to move to Brooklyn, you'll find the shidduch.
Uh-huh.
And that's when he found the shidduch.
He found the shidduch.
In other words, He, if someone asked him, even plain people, he gave aces.
You know who the guy was?
Yeah, but I don't want to give. It's not important.
Is he live in Flatbush?
He doesn't. He never learned in Lakewood.
Does he live in Flatbush now?
Yes, he lives in Flatbush. Yeah.
I think I know the guy.
Yeah.
It's Nishdagadach. He had a big tragedy. Is that the guy?
What kind of tragedy did he have? He's divorced.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he told me this mice.
He told me that mice too.
Yeah, I told you.
No, because I knew him before that.
Yeah, he's our Baal Pekeah every year. Our minion, we have a brisket minion.
Listen,
you'll be in touch with me, beside him.
Okay, thanks. Call him. These were the words of Rabbi Moshe Weissman on Rabbi Aaron.